The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, Nerdapalooza, the world's largest nerd music festival, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
So, Jason, my question to you is, I feel with, so far what I'm reading with Thanos, is that you're trying to get everybody's, like, heartstrings attached to him. What are you trying to do with Thanos to get people interested in
him? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the villains who are interesting are the ones that you can find something in there to sympathize with or identify with from moment to moment. So one moment you might find this guy sympathetic, the next moment he turns around and does something truly horrible and atrocious and you feel embarrassed that you ever sympathized with him in the first place. Those are the kind of villains I find interesting to write. And you know, you can really dig your claws into that kind of villain. So that's the whole idea with Thanos. And Thanos, as set up by Jim Starlin, you know, was never meant to be like just a cackling arch-villain. Like, he was always just kind of romantic. I mean, everything he did was driven by, you know, his love of this woman, who just happened to be the personification of death.
Right.
So, I mean, it was always a weird, warped romance. So I'm just trying to do that, just trying to do the, you know, the weird story of a cosmic serial killer, you know, all wrapped up in one.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, like, for a moment, I'm like, oh, wow, he is, like, has a heart, he's, like, kind of like a person, and I turn the page, he, like, filleted somebody. I was right. Like, oh, my God.
Well, that's the idea. I want you from page to page, I want you to change what you think about this guy or be conflicted. I mean, that's to me is interesting. I don't want you to just, shouldn't be just page after page of this guy doing horrible, horrible things. That you lose interest, you get desensitized to that. But the guy where you're, every once in a while you'll get that glimmer and say, oh, maybe he's not such a bad guy. Right. And then you flip the page, oh, Jesus, yes, he's a really bad guy.
Did you pick Bianchi to be the artist for this, or did they pair you with him?
Yeah, that was Marvel paired me up with him, like, from the get-go.
Because it's beautiful. It's
it looks
written,
awesome.
Yeah,
I think it was
fantastic.
A perfect choice to do it. It's he was really excited about it from the get-go. I think it's right in his wheelhouse. He loves doing the sci-fi stuff. It's got that great balance between being pretty, like, his art is very pretty, but it's also really ugly at the same time.
Right.
There's, like, a grittiness to it. So I think it's perfect. And, yeah, I've been really happy with everything he's done on it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another microsode of Flame On. Now, you may wonder why I'm hosting this thing. It's because Brian's not here, nor is the question, also known as Joshua Yule. But Eric is here. Yay!
Hi, guys.
And then,
Jared, I don't know where he went. Oh. Guy Tunis, he popped out for a minute.
It's not important. We're here. Actually, we're here with a special guest. Say hi, Jessica.
Hi.
Now, Jessica, this is Flame On. You've kind of heard of us before.
I have listened to a few of your podcasts.
Okay. Now,
I'm so sorry.
Shut up. What are your credentials for, like, a gay nerdy podcast?
My credentials? I like gays.
Uh-huh.
And well, I like nerdy things.
Okay,
is
too.
Is that enough?
That suffices,
does that
yes.
qualify me?
Mm-hmm. That does, that
I'm
does.
In. Yes.
Okay, so we are going to talk about Cosmic Marvel, specifically the big events coming up, which are Infinity, the rekindling of Guardians, the Guardians movie that is slated for next year.
Yes.
There's also Nova news, which is old news, but hey. And then last but not least, we're going to talk about, like, what we like about, like, Cosmic Marvel. So,
well, we're going to start off with Thanos Rising.
Okay, yes.
Because I'm new to this whole Cosmic Marvel. I know of it, but I never really read anything. Nothing like you've read, all the Annihilations and stuff. Mm-hmm. So my introduction is all of Thanos Rising.
Okay.
It's my introduction to Thanos. And I just love Jason Aaron's take on it. You know, I don't know the Seep history. I read, unfortunately, Infinity War. Oh. That was my touch of Cosmic Marvel. So I know there's a lot more to Thanos mm-hmm. than and I'm just beginning. Like, everything for me is all fresh. I am, like, fresh and new to this whole cosmic thing with Guardians and everything.
Okay.
But Thanos, I'm really loving, and I love that Jason Aaron does this psychosis with him,
mm-hmm.
like this back and forth thing with him. So I'm really loving that. But, like, okay, Infinity Gauntlet is the big one. Is that the biggest one? Is, like, that the first one that he...
Like, there's Thanos Quest, where Thanos goes and gets the Infinity Gem.
That was the first one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Thanos Quest leads into Infinity Gauntlet. And Infinity Gauntlet is Starlin at his best with, like, the Kirby eyes and the vast cosmic, like, backdrops. It came out in the early 90s, if I'm not mistaken. It's my first, like, Marvel event before I knew what an event was.
Right.
It's gorgeous. It actually holds up pretty well for an old piece of, like, comic book nostalgia.
And was it, what would they do now? Did it go through 45,000 books? Or was it just a mini or maxi series that they used to call them?
It was only, like a mini that I know of. I never saw any tie-ins for it, but I didn't really dig that much. Because, you know, right. like, sometimes when you dig for other things, it just kind of falls to pieces.
Right.
But it's great. And the thing about Cosmic Marvel is that it kind of... It's like the leap year of the Marvel Universe. It disappears, except for every once in a while when they bring it back. Like, the last iteration was, you know, Richard Rider, Nova, out in space, the Nova Corps destroyed. It's Annihilation. It's Annihilation Conquest. I'm forgetting. It was War of Kings, Realm of Kings, and then Thanos Imperative that dealt with, like, the rift in the cosmos.
Right. I did read, was it War of Kings? That's with Scott's brother, right? Vulcan. War of Kings?
Yes.
Is that the one? Okay, yeah. That's the one I read.
And the thing I've always liked about Cosmic Marvel is that it gives you this this separation. So you're not dealing with Iron Man. You're not dealing with, I mean, now you are in Guardians, but you're not dealing with all the stuff that you see on a, like, a monthly basis. You're dealing with, like, the Kree-Skrull Empire. You're dealing with their wars. You're dealing with the Badoon that you barely ever see.
What the hell is that?
The Badoon.
What's the Badoon?
They're like...
Sounds like a music group.
They're like, sounds like they were running out of names.
Badoon!
Just call him Badoon. Just call him Badoon. It'll be fine.
They're like a warrior race. But it's really cool to see all these vistas and all of this really neat, dense history that Marvel has. But just, like, not on Earth. So it's not always about the Fantastic Four. It's not always about the Avengers.
Right, and they always, like, I was always alluded to believe that if it was a cosmic thing, it was a Galactus event. I always thought it was always Galactus, every time they were
it's not
cosmic.
Always Galactus. Sometimes Galactus will show up and he's like the, you know, oh shit, things are gonna happen. The Watcher, you get bored of the Watcher. He just shows up everywhere. But
oh, and every time he shows up, you just know. you can't do anything to help us.
the big villains for Cosmic Marvel have always been, like, Ronan the Accuser, who's now a good guy. There's Annihilus, who is a Fantastic Four villain. So is Ronan. Super Skrull, too. The big one being Galactus, and sometimes right. he's good, sometimes he's bad. He's just a primal force.
And we got Terax.
Terax.
Fire Lord, all those guys.
Uh-huh. The Heralds of Galactus.
And the only reason I know those people, guys, is because Jean Grey kicked their asses.
but, like, the big bad, like, the John Gotti of space is Thanos, who's the Mad Titan. If you're not reading Thanos, Thanos Rising, you should be.
So good.
Jason Aaron's doing a great job, and you may be saying, you know, why am I reading an origin story of Thanos? Well, nobody reads Cosmic Marvel, and that's why it keeps disappearing. And I love it, and every time Marvel cancels a series, it rips my heart out, because there are books that shall remain nameless that go on forever, and no one's reading them.
Richie Hulk?
She-Hulk. But you say, hey, we're out in space with all these ships and these, like, these different worlds and cultures, and nobody wants to read it. Which is why I never thought I'd live to see a day when a Guardians movie would come.
I can't believe we're getting a Guardians movie. And again, like, now I'm learning about the Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning about this whole group that I'm assuming this is what they're going to take the movie off of.
Yeah.
You know, what they're developing here. And I like it. I like it. I like Nova. I like Guardians. I like Thanos. So I'm intrigued about what's to come and how they're going to make a raccoon and a tree relevant and people care for them.
You know, Groot and Rocket Raccoon have this huge cult following. And I usually like their backups, because that's what they usually do. They're on the main team, but then they'll do... they'll do like a backup of, hey, it's, you know, like, you know, Groot, it's this, it's that. So that's cool. But for those of you who don't know the roster for Guardians, it's Star-Lord, who's doesn't have any superpowers, but he has two badass guns, and he used to have a sentient ship. There's Drax the Destroyer, and his story is long and convoluted. Gamora, who's just as long and convoluted. Rocket Raccoon, Groot, who's a sentient tree. There's sometimes Lovebug or Starhawk. Yeah, there's
Madonna. Do you remember when the Guardians, when they did, who is, I think his name is Vance, the telepath that was on New Warriors, Justice, he was Justice in the New Warriors and stuff, but then there was a futuristic Guardians of the Galaxy, there was even a Phoenix in that world, and that's the Guardians I was kind of reading, and then that one gender flip one, I forget his name, but he would be a guy for a little bit, and flipped to be a girl. Yeah, I think
that's Starhawk, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, like, people come in and out, like Quasar.
I used to like Quasar.
Phi LaVelle and Moondragon, who were on the Avengers, if I'm not mistaken.
Isn't Moondragon a lesbian?
They're both lesbians.
Lesbians.
They're lesbian lovers.
Damn it.
But the best thing about the best thing about them is that one of them is usually dead. So
just like a lesbian relationship.
So one of them will be dead and the other one will pine for them. And then one of them will get resurrected. They'll be together for like 3 issues. And then the other one dies. And you're just like, well, that lasted longer than anticipated.
It's like a lesbian relationship. They meet, they go out, they move in, and then they're dead.
One of my biggest favorite like characters in Cosmic Marvel, which... The Nova Force will be showing up apparently in Guardians, which is cool.
Yeah, in the movie Guardians, isn't it like Glenn Close?
Yeah, I think she's she's the leader of the Nova Corps, which is pretty much like Marvel's response to Green Lantern. They're known as the Human Rocket. They rocket throughout the galaxy, and they're like police forces. They're peacekeepers. But Richard Rider is one of my favorites. Like, when I got back into comic books, it was Why the Last Man, and it was Annihilation. And that's where I fell in love with Richard. And he's...
Well, do you think it'll be him in the movie, or he's
this
new kid?
And here's the thing about new Cosmic Marvel. It's been good. Guardians is great.
Yeah.
Guardians is really great. Nova is good, but if Star-Lord is back... Let's rewind. The last big event for Cosmic Marvel, and then it took a rest, was Thanos Imperative, which was great. And at the end of it, they killed Nova and they killed Star-Lord. And they canceled both of those titles. And it tore me up inside. And then they gave me Annihilators, which on paper seems like a really cool group of like Beta Ray Bill and Ronan the Accuser and Quasar's like alive again. And all these people who are like the juggernauts of the Cosmic Realm. And it was okay. It wasn't great. And so now Star-Lord's back, and I'm like, woohoo. And Richard Rider's nowhere to be found.
Well, because he was in Secret Avengers. I don't know where we lost him.
No. He was in Secret Avengers for the first story arc. And then he was like, hey, I gotta go. Something's up in space. And that was Thanos Imperative. So that's where he disappeared. It's the first thing I've learned about comic books. The hard lesson when your series gets put on hiatus. Hiatus.
Permanent hiatus.
And so they canceled it. They brought it back. It's Jeff Loeb. You know, everyone has issues with Jeff Loeb. But he's, you know, back in the day, he's a great writer. And Sam Alexander is there. And that's the name of his deceased son. May he rest in peace.
You said it nicely.
Yes, I did. And, you know, like, I read the next issue that comes out in 2 weeks, and it's good, but Jeff Loeb's leaving the book, and Zeb Wells is taking over.
That's cool. He's doing Avenging Spider-Man, too, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Which is going to be superior team-up, if I'm not mistaken. And that's going to be great. Like, I'm excited to see, like, two very different books in Cosmic Marvel. I just need that line to expand. And I think that's what we'll get out of Guardians. That's why Thanos is important. That's why people should be picking up these titles now.
Well, isn't it in like 2 weeks that we're getting the first prelude? Is it Avengers?
No, I think it's 1 week. Yeah, Infinity, which I've read the prelude of. It's fantastic.
Is it good?
Uh huh.
Awesome. I can't wait to read it.
And you know, like other things that Bendis is writing, like all new X-Men are rumored to be pulled into the Cosmic Realm. But it's fantastic. But it's just like with Man of Steel. You have to go see Man of Steel. You have to buy these books. They're not, pardon the pun, always stellar. But they're important because if you don't support these books and show like diversity, and it's just, it's gonna fail again.
Right.
Like, I know for sure that we will have a Guardians book until Guardians comes out. Whether that book will be canceled shortly after that, I don't know. But it's been good. It's been solid. I mean, it pretends to be a monthly book. But you know what? If you come out the first week in May and then the last week in June, technically, technically,
it's a month.
So, like, what else do we want to talk about on this? I mean, we could talk shit about people left and right.
That's my favorite subject, personally.
But I don't. Hey, Jared, how did you get here?
Through magic.
Okay, it's always through magic. Do your Garrison Keillor tone.
Why do you want me to do Garrison Keillor on this?
Because I'm running out of ideas. I'm not really running out of ideas.
We want to talk about speculation of the possible Infinity. Okay, what they're
so
going to do.
Exactly. So I.
So read, since you read the prelude, like, what do you? Where do you think they're going to go with this? Is it just Thanos full fledged again with the Infinity Gauntlet?
I don't think it's Thanos. There's an old joke like in that old techno song. The system is down. The system is down. So that
pop that in.
So that I think is what Hickman is building. Hickman and Jason Aaron, I think together, are going to give us like a fantastic cosmic jump off point. And so with Infinity, like, the universe was built by these things called like the Builders,
right?
And somewhere along the line, they set up this system, you know, where people and planets evolve. But something has gone horribly wrong in the multiverse. And our system is dying. Our system is offline. And like other worlds, and we're seeing that in New Avengers with the Illuminati, other worlds are crashing into the, from one dimension into another. And it's just all falling apart. I think Infinity is that actually happening, that catastrophe.
Okay.
Instead of just, you know, space-time, which was the rift and like the outcome of War of Kings, is it's not just relegated to one point in space-time. It's everything. It's the multiverse collapsing in on itself. And how do you stop entropy? Like, everything dies. Wow. Reed Richards has said it time and time again. Everything
and this is
dies.
Coming right out of also New Avengers. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to show how all these books have
exactly.
been building to this.
And I think characters that we've seen in the beginning of Avengers, I think Thanos, are going to try to take advantage of that. I'm super excited. I'm super excited to see where this goes.
And this is August, right? Yeah, I think it starts in August.
Yeah, it starts in August. Everyone needs to be reading it. Catch up on Avengers, because this is what Hickman does, is that he creates these big overarching storylines, and you don't always get this massive payout. But little by little, it builds. Like, for Christ's sakes, the man decided, hey, I need to create a new language. And we've had customers at the store, like, decode every time, like, somebody speaks in the
It's such a pain. I do it, too, but it's such a pain in the ass, but I decode it.
It's just...
And it's just like, hey, how are you doing? Like, really?
But, you know, stuff like that is neat. And the thing that I love about Marvel now is that it's big. It's massive. And I don't always mean, you know, they pull out the biggest guns, but they're big stories and they're smart and you have to pay attention. And if you miss something, like I think Avengers 9, where Starbrand showed up.
Yes.
Like that issue, and we talked about it on the show before, is really, really smart, because you think, oh, like all these people, they're going to be important, and you realize they're not important. What's important is that one person in the background, that one person right. who's going to make a difference, who has the power to destroy a world.
Right.
And like that's, and I think that's why I've always liked Cosmic Marvel, because you have to think cosmically, you have to think universally. And sometimes,
what's right in front of you is not the important piece. It's actually what's happening behind.
Exactly. You know, for example, you have Fantastic Four. And they're traveling through time and space in the unknown dimensions, just like Doctor Who.
Because they couldn't think of a name, people. Because they couldn't think of a name.
Yeah. Is it the greatest book? No. But, you know, Fraction is doing something, and he's saying, hey, be with me for the long haul. And, you know...
I love you, Matt Fraction.
Yes, you do, because you molested him.
I didn't molest him. He kissed me.
Yes.
Because I molested him.
Exactly. You molested and accosted him. But... That's what Cosmic Marvel is. And if you want bigger stories. Because, you know, sometimes you feel like when Captain America goes after Baron, you know, Zemo for the 50th time,
right,
that they try to convey that sense of gravity. And what better, like, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But what better way to convey that than Annihilus eating the galaxy?
But now, is Annihilus, because when it left off that Johnny Storm had him on a leash.
Yeah, he has Annihilus. I do not know where that Annihilus is.
Okay, because we haven't seen since this Marvel now, right?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
You know, and listeners, if I'm forgetting something, please don't. You know,
don't be mad.
Don't
just
be mad.
Hate us
don't
on
roast
Facebook
me over fire. Like, I love these books. We all love these books. But I've been working all day, and I haven't had an ounce of alcohol, and I need something to keep me going. With that, you know what? Let's talk about your conversation with Jason Aaron. When he came to the store, which was awesome. He did a huge signing for Thor: God of Thunder and everything that he's done, which
that
is
awesome.
A great book,
yeah.
If you haven't picked it up. That is cosmic Marvel. And actually, you know what? I feel like everyone thinks of it as an Avenger book, but
right.
That book has been out in space. And like, if
that's
you've been,
its own thing.
Yeah,
that's
if
like...
you've been loving that book, that's a cosmic book. Like, so give everything else a shot. But talk about him. Like, he was awesome.
He was fantastic. I mean, first from the store, and then, like, I didn't get to really talk to him a lot at the store, but when I was at the con, I actually got a chance to talk to him. And it's weird having an opportunity to talk, and you forget, you know, like, I put certain people on pedestals, mm-hmm. and, you know, and I can't help that, because in my mind, they're above me. But then talking to them and talking to him in general, he was just laid back. He was cool. He was really receptive, as you'll hear in the beginning of this episode, was the great interview. He was like, 1, 2, 3, sure, why not? Mm. You know, he was really nice. He dished on Aaron, which I love him for that. And then I kissed him, too.
Of course you did.
I kissed a lot of people, guys. I kissed a lot.
And we call me the whore of Babylon. No, and that, you know, that's, if you've never been to Heroes Con, and I've never been to Heroes Con, Brian's been twice, Joshua's been twice, you went for the first time.
Yep, my first con that I haven't been to a con ever. Okay, folks, so you know the last time I've been to a con, John Byrne just started his run on Superman, the Man of Steel.
Holy shit.
And the only panel I've ever went to was the John Byrne panel. Okay, so it was like 1983, 84.
But, you know, like, that's
Shut up, don't judge me, woman. Okay, get out.
What's really cool is that Aaron said it a thousand times, Brian said it a thousand times. If you've ever wanted to talk to artists and writers, they are accessible at that con. That is the con that, you know, the DC
and that,
reps.
That's
and
what
the,
it was.
The
they were
reps
just
aren't there.
They were just. It seemed like, and that's what they Cap and Aaron talked to me about in the car. They were just like, it's like their excuse to hang out and party, you know. So why not make a little money?
Yeah,
and that's exactly what it is. It's like they were all really great, and it gave me a chance to break out of a shell, and I just was able to talk to everybody. They were receptive. They were mm-hmm. human, you know, which was really great. It's, you know, and I love Jason Aaron, what he talked about with Thanos, and he's really all he said in the interview that I did is exactly how I feel about Thanos, and so he's conveying the message perfectly for me, for people like me. That don't know anything, he's doing a great job introducing us.
You know, and I think Jason Aaron, now that I think about it, that and Thanos, like, those two books, like, he knows how to write a story. And he's a great, not to say that it's diminished in any way, it's just, he's a great jumping on point for what Cosmic Marvel can represent, which are just really cool, out there stories. If you ever like Star Trek, if you ever like Star Wars, just, I mean, if you like Green Lantern, just pick up something, like, try something new. DC has its cosmic level down pat with Green Lantern and the slew of other books.
And the New Gods.
And the New Gods and stuff like that. And, you know, Valiant's Exo Manowar series is phenomenal. It's just sometimes Marvel just needs, like, a leg up. And it's not always Silver Surfer. Like, it's a lot of different characters that we haven't seen in a long time.
That I hope they bring them back Surfer and they reintroduce everybody to this, you know.
And plus, if you're reading Avengers, apparently everyone's going out in space, which which will leave us with Mighty Avengers, with Luke Cage and the new Power Man and She-Hulk, White Tiger.
Oh, the B-team. It's super great. I feel so protected. I feel so protected and safe.
You know, which is...
So, can you stay?
Which is funny because everyone's like, oh, you know, that's a really cool... It's a diversity team. It's the NAACP of Avengers, and, which I'm looking forward to. Yes, it's another Avengers title, but I mean, everyone's going to be out in space. Read this, but it's going to be cool. Like, things are shifting in Marvel. Age of Ultron ends next week. It's polybagged. And that's going to shake up the game. That's where Angela makes her debut, who's the Spawn character that died years ago.
Right.
And that's what happens when Neil Gaiman wins. He gets to write Angela into the Marvel Universe for the first time ever. But, like, things are changing. Things are on the horizon. And just jump. Like, boldly go. We're normal Avengers readers and, not Fantastic Four readers. Or, like, Young Avengers readers or X-Men readers rarely go cosmic.
And this is our chance to go cosmic.
Mm-hmm. So, with that, Jessica?
Thanks for listening, guys. And flame on!
Flame off, honey.
Off.
Flame off.
Can I kiss you?
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you, Jason.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, a podcast made possible by Powder Milk Biscuits, the ones in the blue box, A Comic Shop, Nerdapalooza, and the generous support of tops and bottoms like you. If you want to be one of our sugar daddies, you can help out by telling a cute single friend about us, reviewing us on iTunes, or putting some dollars down our digital G-string in our monthly support drive. For more ridiculously entertaining and socially enlightening episodes of Flame On, as well as other fine programs, head on over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to Flame On and all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via iTunes. And be sure to find us on Twitter at Flame On Podcast or Facebook on our Flame On fan page. And make sure to check out flameonshow.com for more nerdy queer in your ear.